Okay, we're up to the beginning of Perek Yudalit. Okay, so Pasuk Aleph, Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Aleph, Ahoya B'yom, Ki Yirachem Hashem Es Yaakov. We are continuing the downfall of the Babylonian Empire, and at this point in time was a time where Mashiach could have come. The Bayis Sheni, the building of the Bayis Sheni, could have been the beginning of Mashiach. Zerubbabel would have been Zerubbabel's one of the leaders of the Jewish people. This time he was a descendant of David, he could have been Mashiach. And Ezra and Nehemiah could have been instrumental in bringing Mashiach. Ki Rachim Hashem Etzach, when Hashem will have compassion upon Yaakov, because we have to remember the 70 years since the Chorban, 70 traumatic years. When Hashem will have compassion upon Yaakov, will choose once again Yisrael, and at this point Hashem will return them, will put them on their land. This is the point in time when they will have an opportunity to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They're going to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, and the Bayis Sheni could have been permanent had we been worthy. The Ger, at this point in time, there will be Gerim, many people will join the Nisbichu al Beis Yaakov, and they will be added, appended to the house of Yaakov. Okay, so there are a number of ideas that are happening that are being presented in this pasuk. First of all, start with something simple. When it comes to Yaakov, it says Ki Yirachem Hashem Es Yaakov. There are two different parts of the pasuk. There's Yaakov and Yisrael. We know this from all over the place many times that there are two different names. The Klai Yisrael, Yaakov represents Klai Yisrael in a state of Golus, in a state of imperfection, where they're lacking, there's something that's missing. This is Yaakov. Yisrael is a higher level of Klal Yisrael, where they have achieved a state of perfection. They are a high spiritual level. At any given point in time in Klal Yisrael, there are people that are on a lower level, which are in need of improvement, and there are people that have attained near perfection, almost perfect, but are on a higher spiritual level. So Yaakov refers to those individuals who have a need to grow, and Yisrael represent the people who have achieved a certain level.
That's
of...
That's what the Medina is called, Yisrael.
Okay. Okay. So you have Yaakov and Yisrael. So here it says, with regard to Yaakov, representing Klal, the people in Klal Yisrael who are in need of tshuva, or need to go further, Hashem will have compassion. Rachmanis means you're not deserving, but Hashem nevertheless will have compassion. When it comes to Yisrael, the pasuk used the term uvochar, Hashem will choose, which means when you compare the word bochar relative to Yirachem, it shows that Kadosh Baruch Hu is pleased. Hashem is satisfied, and now will choose these individuals. So that's one interesting idea over here. We have Yaakov and Yisrael. With regard to Yaakov, it's the word Yirachem. With regard to Yisrael, it's the word bochar. Next thing is v'hinicham al admasim. Hashem will put them, lashon of hanocha, will cause them to rest, will cause them to rest upon their land. They will return to their homeland. V'nilva hager aleihem, and gerim will join Klal Yisrael. V'nisbichu al beis Yisrael, they will be appended to beis Yaakov. Chazal take this word v'nisbichu. There's a famous Chazal, the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos, Daf Mem Zayin, that the word nisbichu comes from the word sapachas. Sapachas is a scab. It's one of the forms of tsaras. Chazal tell us that gerim are a scab for Klal Yisrael. That can mean one of many things. Either means that they are not fully observant. Gerim, they enter into Klal Yisrael, they observe the mitzvahs, but they don't have the background, so they're not fully observant. So when their observance is not 100%. And people in Bnei Yisrael, they look at them, they don't realize they're gerim. They look at them and they learn from them to be lax in their observance. So that's a sapachas. Others say just the opposite, that a ger comes what? After growth. Okay, but here I think it's used a sapachas. Sapachas is a scab, so it's either used in a negative connotation because they're not fully observed. Others learn the other way around. They are a din. It's a scab against Klal Yisrael because they are so sincere. Anyone that would want to convert to Yadus is so sincere and so pure. Their observance is so much better than the observance of the average person, they make us look bad. The gerim, that's another idea, but that's what the pasuk over here says. V'nisbuchu al beis Yaakov's famous chazal that the gerim are called asapachas. Now, what's problematic here is that the Moshe Mashiach, we're not going to accept gerim. So why? So it appears at this point in time where they are coming, where the Jewish people are returning to Eretz Yisrael, and the gerim are being attached. The nilva being attached, and they're being added to Klal Yisrael, it's not referring to the time when Mashiach really has come, it's the build-up. It's at an earlier stage in time where, at this point, they're still allowed to join Klal Yisrael, because we know that once Mashiach comes, the game will not be allowed to join Klal Yisrael, because we cannot be certain they're coming because they really want to observe the mitzvahs, or because at this point in time, Klal Yisrael control the world, and we have no way of knowing that their geiris is sincere. Pasuk Beis, Ulikachum Amim. At this point in time, nations, when they see that the Gula has come, and B'nai Yisrael living on their land, the nations of the world will make it their business to collect, to inspect their population, and seek out anyone that has Jewish blood, and transfer them to Eretz Yisrael. Ulikachum Amim, nations will gather the Jewish people, the Hevi El Mikoimam, will give them a free ticket to Eretz Yisrael. And here the pasuk it's not clear what the pasuk means. I'll tell you one interpretation. V'hisnachalum beis Yisrael. When these people arrive in Eretz Yisrael, beis Yisrael al admas Hashem. V'hisnachalum beis Yisrael al admas Hashem. And the people that arrive will inherit the land. The base, the people who are living in Eretz at this point in time, will take these recipients upon al-admas Hashem, la'avodim u'vilishvachos. For slaves and servants, maidservants. Now that refers to the gerim. The gerim that will not be accepted. There are two different stages. There's a stage where gerim will be accepted. But then there will be a stage where Mashiach will have come and gerim will no longer be accepted. People will still attempt to convert. They will be rejected, but they will be accepted as slaves and maidservants. And that's what it means over here. V'lokachum amim, nations will take v'hisnachalum beis Yisrael al mas Hashem la'avodim l'shvachos. The Jewish people will accept these people who attempt to join Klal Yisrael and will cause them to live, to inherit the land, only as avodim v'lishvachos. Period. Because at this point, Gerus is closed. V'hoyu shoivim l'shoivehem. And they'll be captors for the people, and this refers to their enemies, the Goyim. The nations of the world who had, until this point in time history, were Shoiveihem, were captors, caused Klal Yisrael tsar, caused Klal Yisrael hardship. Now the tables will be turned. B'nai Yisrael will be the Shoivim, the captors, Lish Shoiveihem, to those people who in the past were Shoivehem, were their captors. Viradu, and the Jewish people will rule Shomarim. Viradu, and they will control, they will rule over Binog Sehem, over their oppressors. Coming of Mashiach, the tables will be turned. The people who thus far were the oppressive Klal Yisrael will now be under the control, the Shlita, the dominion of Klal Yisrael. A Pasuk Gimel, V'hoya B'yom, and it will be on this day. Haniach Hashem will relieve, will cause rest, lucha, to you, may otzbicha, from your pain, or some of your sadness, umi rog zecha, from your anger, umin ho'avoda, hakosha asher ubadbach, and from your hard labor, which you have served from the hard oppressive labor that you have served the nations of the world throughout your long period of galus. So again, according to the simple interpretation, this pasuk refers to the time of Mashiach. Hashem will give us rest. We will rest upon our land in Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk here describes three forms of rest: rest from pain, mei otzbicha; rest from anger, umi rog zecha; and rest from hard, crushing labor. Okay, it's interesting. Three different types of rest we will have at the time of Mashiach. There are many midrashim that discuss this pasuk. One beautiful midrash is that this pasuk refers to Shabbos. And Shabbos Hoya by Biyom. The day that we are referring to is Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh is a day of rest from three things, from the pain, anger, and crushing labor. There's another Medrash that says that this pasuk refers to Gehenim. We all know from our childhood, there's a Chazal, that on Shabbos, Gehenim is closed. The flames of Gehenim are turned off, the fires of Gehenim are turned off on Shabbos. So here, B'yom, on the day of Shabbos, in Gehenim, everyone is at rest. There is no Gehenim. And that's why we all know that davening on an Ovel, the most significant, the most important time for an Ovel to daven is Mitzvah Shabbos. Because Mitzvah Shabbos is when the Neshamas, we don't know what this means, we have no clue what this means, but whatever it means, the Neshamas return to Gehenim on Shabbos, or the Shabbos time of rest in Gehenim, the Neshamas return. So if a child, someone says Kaddish on behalf of a Neshama that's has to return, for whatever reason, to Gehenim after Shabbos over, the Kaddish and the davening will grant some type of dispensation or some type of leniency for the Neshama when Shabbos over as he returns. That's why many people have also custom to the Maarech on Shabbos, to extend Shabbos as long as possible, because as long as Shabbos is going on in this world, then Gehenim is not in operation in the other world. And that is all alluded to here in this pasuk of these three things, that the sadness, the pain, and the anger, and the Avodah Kasha are a description of different things which take place in Gehenim. The different Kabbalah, we don't really know what this means. I saw another...
Upstairs, Mishmaim, they wait till the last minute.
We don't know what that means. We have no idea.
Seriously,
what this means.
There's man like in Borough Park.
There are rabbis that wait until they don't make Havdalah until Tuesday. They don't make Havdalah until Tuesday because Gehenim is not over until you make Havdalah. So you can make, technically, you can make Havdalah Tuesday. So Shabbos goes until Tuesday. And then Wednesday, you start preparing for Shabbos. So when you start preparing for Shabbos, so also they start to close it down. So Gehenim is almost, it's never open. It's never open. It's shut down. Okay, we don't know what this means. Obviously, we don't know what it means, but we do the best we can, okay? You admire
it. That's a good answer. I mean, if it works, it works.
Divrei Kabbalah.
Davening 72 minutes after, 100 minutes after.
So they say that.
I'm going with that time.
No one can tell us what this means. But the Chazal tell us, Amunas Chachamim, they're stopping to it. You admire it. If you can, you can. There's definitely an inyan of Mitzvah Shabbos. When I was sitting Shiva, so a very big Rosh Yeshiva came to me and he said to me that every Mitzvah Shabbos, you should try. He says that the most important time to daven is Mitzvah Shabbos. By Hasidim, they fight. The Mamash, they kill each other for this. To daven for the Amud Mitzvah Shabbos. And they'll make 100 minyan. If you have a shul that has 100 people, they'll make 10 minyan. That's like Hasidim. But little Sho'ilam, they're not so into this. They don't break up minyanim. But also, he told me, Shalom Mishnais. Every Mitzvah Shabbos, don't leave shul until you learn at least two Mishnais. Because Mitzvah Shabbos is the Zman where Gehenim, you know, Chashom said, any person goes to Gehenim, if it's a tzaddik, but we don't know what these things mean. But it's an inyan to lessen the din in heaven by doing certain things in this world, and the time that's most appropriate for those things is Motzoi Shabbos. And the longer you march on Shabbos, the more you extend the Kedusha Shabbos into the weekday, that's also somehow some type of schus. Okay, I saw another beautiful vart, a very beautiful idea. There are three things in Chazal. Hakina, Hataiva, and Hakovet, Motzien, Esodom, and Oilam. Who doesn't know that mission? Hakina, Hataiva, and Hakovet. Those three things is what we Shabbos. Shabbos is an antidote to kina, tithe, and kavod, and that's what it says here. Otzvicha, from your pain, the pain refers to. Let me just write it down because I forgot exactly. Otzvicha refers to kavod. When a person is roidif kavod, and you don't get what you feel is you're entitled to the honor, it's painful. You can all relate to this. That's called the tsar, the sadness of not receiving your honor. Umi rog zecha, from your anger, that's jealousy. It's true. Person's jealous, a jealous rage. Okay, it's not an expression of jealous rage for nothing. When you get jealous, you get angry. And umi avoda kasha, that is taiva. Person has a desire for success, for wealth, or whatever you choose, it's hard work. You have to spend time, effort, money to achieve your goal. Avodah Kasha. So these three things which are mentioned here in the pasuk correspond to these three ideas, kinatai v'kavod, and Shabbos Kodesh is an antidote for these three things. Okay, pasuk dalet. On that day, when Mashiach comes, and more, when the fall, we're really referring specifically to the fall of Nebuchadnezzar, the fall of the Babylonian Empire, v'nasasa hamashol hazeh al melech bavel, you will lift up, you will raise, you will sing and mention the following mashal, example, proverb on the king of Babel, referring specifically to Nebuchadnezzar, v'amorto, and you will say, how could it be? It's a miracle. How could it be that finally the tyrant has fallen? Eich shavas noges, can really be that the oppressor, noges means the oppressor, has been silenced. He no longer is making noise. Shavasa, he's quiet. Madheva. Madheva is a very unusual word. I don't think we have any precedent for this anywhere else. And there are many interpretations. If we look at the Mitzudas Tzion, he brings the Targum. He says that Matheva comes from the word Zahav, gold. And Nebuchadnezzar was obsessed with gold. And gold, what does it mean, gold? So it means simply money. He was obsessed with money, and he conquered nations to steal their money. That's the Targum. And let's see what it says here in the Mitzudas David. Shavsa nispatla hamida hamusheves. The mida, the gold measure. So the Mitzudas David takes the word gold and adds the word measurement. And he explains to Rotzolaymar, ho'ashirus balas, the wealth, balas marvis, as of the person that increased the increased gold. This wealthy, arrogant man has come to an end. He was known for his desire for money. That's why he's called the Matheva. Rashi, he says a different interpretation. L'shoy marbis gaiva. Matheva is not related to gold. It's related to arrogance. Umaso kaved, and to lift up honor. Period. That's another interpretation. Rabbi Seinu Darshu, a third interpretation. It's a composite of two words, to measure. Mem dalid is measure. Havei means bring. And it means his oppression. He would conquer a nation and demand they pay tribute, tax. Measure for me a certain amount of gold and deliver it to my palace. And if you don't, I'll kill you all. So here, I think in the combination we have another interpretation I saw in Shimon Schwab's Sefer, and he brings that from Julius Hirsch. We mentioned it many times. Julius Hirsch was Rav Shamshner Fol Hirsch's son. He wrote a very choshev Sefer on Sefer Yeshaya. Spent a lot of time. Rav Shimon Schwab quotes him often, and he says Matheva comes from the word to worry. Doev. I'm not sure I'm saying the Shurish correctly. But the Shorish Dalid Hey Beis means to worry, Daiga, from the word to worry, Dalid Hey Beis. And we take this word, we transform it into a verb form, which means the individual that caused everyone to worry. In his reign, the Nebuchadnezzar's reign, the world was in a state of pachat. What's going to be? He may come, conquer, and kill us. The individual that caused the world to worry is gone. Wow. What a relief. So in combination we have over here something like five different interpretations from this for a very unusual word, Matheva. The person that was obsessed with wealth. And obviously he's obsessed with wealth. That was not good for the world because he would torment and steal and rob and oppress people so that they would provide him with his wealth, Russian gold. And that's really what Rashi, the second interpretation of Rashi, of Midod V'Havei, Rashi takes the same exact word, but instead of the Hav is gold, he interprets it to mean Midod V'Havei. The other interpretation again is Gaiva, arrogance. Another interpretation is the one who caused the world to worry, period. Okay, there are different Midrash, and there's a Midrash that says that Nebuchadnezzar, he made for himself a gold statue of himself. And unlike all the other his predecessors and other kings who made statues out of stone or silver, he insisted his statue be made from gold. So he got this nickname that he was the the Matheva. The Matheva means the person obsessed with gold to the degree that he made for himself a statue. Okay, interesting that when the Saddam Hussein fell, many people were making an analogy between Nebuchadnezzar and Saddam. Saddam was obviously one of the biggest tyrants in this century or past century, and it was an amazing thing. They said the same exact thing. Can it really be Eich Shavas Noges? Can it really be that the oppressor is silent? Shavasa Mateva. Wherever you look in, wherever you go, you see on television all different papers, the portraits, the pictures, the statues of Saddam, the person that was obsessed with his wealth and with his glory, has finally come to an end. We said before that Saddam Snow was obsessed with Nebuchadnezzar. He probably viewed himself as some type of reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar. And in fact, Iraq is situated in ancient Babel, where not far from probably where the ancient Nebuchadnezzar had his palace. Okay, Pasuk A says, Shavar Hashem Mateh, Rishma Hashem has broken the Mateh, the rod of the evil. Shevet Moshkim, the rod of the ruler. Yeah. Same thing with these two words. The same we had this many times. There's a Mateh, there's a Shevet, there's a Shoit. There are many words referred to the staff, the rod, and Hashem has broken the rod of the evildoers and of the rulers. Babylonians are gone. Pasuk Vav. Make Amim Be'evra. The nation, this nation that was Make Amim, which smote, which hit, tyrannized other nations with anger. Nebuchadnezzar was an angry person, was a madman. He would hit and conquer nations with anger. Makas bilti sora, relentless. A maka that would not go away. He would come after a nation again and again. There was no relief. Rode, he would rule va'af with anger goyim nations. He was a madman. Like Yimachshma, Hitler Yimachshma, you see these man, angry person. Merudaf, he pursued. Merudaf means he to chase. He would chase after nations. Bilti chosoch. Chosoch means without relief, without withholding. Metuta sion chosoch inyan minia, to withhold. He would not withhold himself from his continuous, relentless pursuit of tyrannizing and conquering nations. Pasuk Zayin. Nocha, Baruch Hashem, now Nocha, it's come to rest. This tyrant has been silenced. It means in quiet. Nocha has been quiet, shakta, silenced. Two words which mean the same thing as the Masuda says. Kol Aretz, the entire earth now is at rest due to the magnificent event that he has been silenced. Patsuchurina. The earth now has broken forth in song. Everyone is rejoicing, celebrating in the streets that the tyrant is dead. Gam Biroshim, even the trees. Biroshim simply means the trees, the certain types of trees. Samchulach, rejoice over your downfall. Arze Lava, Samchum, Gam Biroshim, Samchulacha Arze Levanon. It goes together. Arz Levanon have also rejoiced l'cha over you, over referring to you, your downfall. Me'ah shochavta. It means the cedars of Lebanon,
yeah.
the mighty trees. So this means simply, either they take it literally, that he chopped down a lot of trees for his palaces and for his. So the trees have long been cut down, or it means generals. It means all of the leaders of the world. The leaders of the world were terrorized by this ultimate tyrant Nebuchadnezzar. Now that he has been silenced, so all the leaders, the Biroshim and the Arze Halavanan, they are rejoicing. Now that you have, from the time that you have, lie down in your grave, Lo Yale HaKoreis Aleinu, they would say, Baruch Hashem, the Koreis, the one who cuts down, the Nebuchadnezzar, is the one that cut down the mighty trees. He will no longer come and cut down, will no longer be lifted up against us. Pasuk Tesh, Sha'ol, the grave, mitachas, from beneath him, rogzolach, shuk, likras bayecha, in anticipation to greet, to welcome towards your coming. In other words, when the Nebuchadnezzar died, it was a great joy for this world. But in the other world, the Gehenna was the people in Gehenna, and Gehenna itself. Oh no! Like if a criminal comes to a prison, as a known mafia, a criminal, the warden is not very happy, because sometimes the criminal is such a difficult person. It's difficult for the warden to deal with him in the prison. So Gehenna was not very happy to receive Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar is trouble for everyone. He's trouble for this world, and he's trouble for Gehenna. All of the other Rishoyim in Gehenna were also, oh no, the new guy on the block is here, and we come and we socialize, whatever they do, when they come together, he will tyrannize us, he will torture us here in Gehenna. So Gehenna was not very pleased to have for their new guest that was about to arrive, the new resident that was about to arrive. Shol Gred Bitachas Rogzalach, it shook Lecha. To you, it shook in reference to you, Nebuchadnezzar, Likras Boyecha, in anticipation to greet your coming. Oyer Lecha, Oyer means to awaken. To you, Rifoim. Now, Rifoim means, there are many different interpretations of Rifoim. Rifoim either means the dead. Rifoblishon Rifyon, weak. Rifyon Yodayim, people whose hands are weak. The ultimate weakness is death. So here it means the dead were aroused. That's one interpretation. Or reform could also mean the powerful. And it refers to the people that are powerful in their wickedness. And they are currently dwelling in Gehenna. When they got news that there's a new guest arriving, a new person arriving in Gehenna, they were awakened. Oh no, you know who's coming to town? Nebuchadnezzar. Oyerulucha. They were awakened to greet in regard to you, Rifoim, the dead, called Aturi Aretz. Aturi means the powerful of the earth. This refers, Aturi literally means goats. When you have sheep, they would send out he-goats in front of the sheep. They would lead. The Atudim, the he-goats, were the leaders of the flock. The Rishoyim are called, in this pasuk, the Atudim, the he-goats, because they would go out in front of their people and lead the way in the ways of wickedness. Aturi Aretz, the powerful ones of the earth, referring here to the wicked, they were awakened when they got report that you're coming. Hekem mikis osam. They got up from their thrones, kol malche goyim, all of the kings of the nations. Now what does that mean? It means that they're dead. In Gehenna, they're sitting on chairs. That's what it seems to say in a poetic form. We have here Gehenna. We have a collection of kings who are all wicked. They're called in this pasuk Rifoim. They're called Aturi Eretz. They are sitting on their thrones in Gehenna. And now when Nebuchadnezzar comes, they all get up to greet Nebuchadnezzar. Welcome, you've come here to sit in Gehenna together with us. There's a medrash that says, well, not only a medrash, but Farshim say that, they've done studies, archaeological digs, that the ancient kings, from the ancient times, they would bury a king on his throne. Today, people are buried horizontal. It seems that these ancient kings were buried in their throne, sitting up in the ground. And that's what Pasuk over here is saying, that it's symbolic. The dead are sitting in their thrones below ground, and now when Nebuchadnezzar is taken to his grave, all of the kings that are sitting in their throne underground, referring in their death, are going to wake up to greet him in Gehenna. Kulam Ya'anu, they all respond to Nebuchadnezzar. V'yomer, they say, V'yomer Lecha, they all speak up. V'yomer Lecha, they say to Nebuchadnezzar, Gam Ata. Chuleisa, come on, look at that, wow. Nebuchadnezzar, who would ever have imagined that Nebuchadnezzar would die? The almighty and powerful Nebuchadnezzar, who would imagine Chuleisa, you would become weak? Lashon chole, weakness. Kamonu, eleinu nimshalt, look at that. You're just like us. You are compared to one of us. You're no different than everyone else. You also have died. That is the simple interpretation of the pasuk. The Medrash says that the people in Gehenna were asking a question when they got word that the Nebuchadnezzar is arriving. They're wondering, are you coming here to lie down and suffer with us, Or are you coming down to Gehenim to torture us? So you break the pasuk into two parts. Chuleso kamonu, period. Have you become weak? Become weak like us, and you're going to suffer here in this Gehenna like us, period. Or Eleinu Nimsholta, instead of saying Nimsholta, we compare Lashon of a Moshe. Or are you coming here to Gehenna to rule over us and torture us the same way you tortured us in the world of the living? So two different interpretations for this pasuk. Again, the first interpretation is it's a statement. The dead, the wicked people in Gehenna, when they hear the report that Nebuchadnezzar is arriving, they say, look at that, even Nebuchadnezzar, the all-powerful king that controlled the entire world, even him has become weak, has died, and has become similar to all of us here, and will descend into Gehenna to suffer. Or it is a question, what's the purpose of you coming to us, Nebuchadnezzar? Is it that you are like us, you're dead, you're weak, you're going to suffer? Or is it that you're coming here to torture us, just as you have tortured us in the world of living? You will rule, Moshel, Eleinu Nimsholta, Miloshen Moshel, you will rule over us here in Gehenna and torture us. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hurat Sheol, Ge'oinecha, your arrogance has descended into the grave. Hemyas Nivolecha, the noise of your carcass. Nebuchadnezzar, wherever he traveled in this world, he made a lot of noise and entourage. He traveled with a lot of soldiers and people, so now it's the pasuk is mocking Nebuchadnezzar here. Now it's just a loud noise, but not a loud noise of your army and your glory. It's the loud noise of your carcass. Tachtecha yutzarima, beneath you will be laid out a bed of worms. Umichasecha toleya, and you'll be covered by worms. Two different types of worms, a worm called a rima, and there's a toleya. The rima are the worms that are below a person's body, and the toleya are the words that are the worms that are above the person's body. And now they mock him. Eich nafalto mishamayim. How could it be that you've fallen from heaven? Halel ben shachar. Halel means to shine. Ben shachar means the morning star. Shachar means a star. Shachar means the morning. Shacharis, the word shacharis. And when you put these two words together, it means something that shines in the morning. The morning star. Constellation. Nebuchadnezzar, who was all mighty and powerful, was compared to the morning star, a bright star that can be seen early in the morning as dawn arrives, which represents power and strength and might. Look at that. It has fallen from heaven, and the Mefarshim say that the mazel has fallen. Before any time there is something, something happens in this world, the Tsar, every nation, every person has some type of guardian angel, and when Hashem wants to punish the nation, Hashem first does din with the guardian angel. So here, the guardian angel of Bavel, of the Nebuchadnezzar, is being compared to the Halel ben Shachar, the shine of the morning star. Hashem has conquered this guardian angel, and now Mamela, Nebuchadnezzar himself has fallen into nothingness. Nigdatol, obviously you've been cut down to the earth. Cholesh al-Goyim, you that took, Cholesh means to take lotteries on the nations. Nebuchadnezzar, what he would do is he would sit in his palace in Babel, and he would decide, which nation should I conquer next? Let's say there were 10 nations he did not yet succeed in conquering, so he would make a lottery. There are 10 nations, cast lots, whichever would come up in the lot, that would be the next nation he would conquer. It was a mocking way. In other words, he felt that he was so secure, so powerful. I can do whatever I want. I don't need to plan. I don't need strategy. It's just a question of, I'll make a goyel, which nation I'll conquer. That's what it means. Cholesh al-Goyim, he would cast lots on the nations, which one to conquer. And here the pasuk is saying, look at that, you've fallen, your guardian angel has fallen, you've been cut down to the earth, you who he is being described here as the Cholesh al-Goyim. Okay, I'll conclude with a joke. We'll stop here. We'll tell you a good joke. Politics. Person came to heaven, Ach Amei of Esrim, whatever that means, and they said to him, you know what? We'll give you a choice. If you want, you can go to Gehenna or Gan Eden. You choose, up to you. You're 50-50. Do whatever you want. So he said, can I see what it's like in Gehenna and Gan Eden? So he goes to Gan Eden, and he sees they're spiritual, they're involved in Yoni Ruchnius, he wasn't, in his lifetime, he was not accustomed to these type of things. Okay, very nice. The next day he goes down to Gehenna. And he's greeted there. Yeah, he's greeted there by all the politicians, all of the community leaders, and they're dressed in the most beautiful clothing, and everything is so beautiful and clean, and they take him into all these beautiful banquet halls, and they serve him the best food and the best drink. And all the luxuries and all of the everything that all the best that this world has to offer, they're providing for him there in Gehenna. Fine, comes back up, and they said, "Nu, have you chosen? Have you decided where you want to go, to Gehenna or Gan Eden? But we want to tell you one thing: whatever you decide, that's it. There's no, you can't change your mind. Once you go to one of these two destinations, it's it. It's closed. It's sealed. You can't. That's where you're going to be forever." So he says, "You know, I never thought I would say this, but I think I like Gehenna."
Yeah.
Gehenna. You know, it's good food. Life. It's a good life. You know, everything is amazing. Gan Eden, you know, it's not necessarily for me. It's not for me. Says, okay, fine. This is what you choose. Go to Gehenna. So he goes to Gehenna. He comes down. It's filthy. It's dirty. It's literally Gehenna. So then he goes and he meets the politicians and he meets the community leaders and he says, "What happened? Yesterday when I came here, you were dressed in the most beautiful clothing. You provided me with all the amenities and the food." He says, "Yesterday we were campaigning." This is reality.
You're in your car.